This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for you have made this day possible. You have blessed this platform in the Spirit. You have exalted it. And out of that grace upon this platform, I'm confident that in mercy, I will be granted access also to labor with grace and to bring blessing that is beyond my preparation and my preparedness. Lord, I ask that you take of me and bring blessing to your people. I ask that your Spirit will possess me. You guide my thought. You bless your people with breath, with strength, with wisdom, with counsel. I come under your Spirit. I come under the authorities that be upon the house in the mighty Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What Makatana Masikatai, Rotas for City, Operator Toshina Pata, Ariakato Sinatata, Oria Pashna Lamata, Otaina Tosti Mata, Omatatu Tata Mata, Arapas no Mata, Achati Mata, Elota Nama Kusta Mata
Tabnos Has Empali Hand. Is a feast of secrets. Prepare for secrets. Prepare for secrets. Haman on the Libra horse and the Lebrando contado shamble feast and beggar. For I have prepared even a feast of secrets for you. I have prepared a feast even for you to come to assess a secret. For a secret is to be delivered. A secret, an interpretation of another cause in God is about to be given. Prepare your heart. Bring your hearts together. Bring your thoughts together. Bring vessels. Bring your vessels. Bring your vessels. Eliatu Sandel Bodia Kundes kill belly brandus candes kill. I must kill you. I'm to skill you. Even to skill you. I've been no muson to skill you. Even to skill you up. Even to skill you up again. Even to upskill you. Even to upskill you in conversation. Even to upskill your conversation. Prepare your vessel for secrets, said the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen. I think the burden is how everyone that is single and that is marriageable can maximize this season. Another word for that burden is the Lord wants to call out the man in every male man, and he wants to call forth the woman in every female man. Because it says man and woman created he them. So that we become marriageable, both as male and as female, or as man, as woman, or so that we become truly who the Lord calls a man. Because what we call man and woman is not what the Lord calls man and woman. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall do what? Shall cleave. So there's a whole lot there. Something should have happened in the process of time that you see a father be a father indeed and a mother be a mother indeed and be able to call for the man and the woman in their children. And that's why I believe in Ephesians. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and your mother. So this tells me that there are occasions where our father and our mother in the flesh were not parents in the Lord. So they could not parent us in the Lord. They could not communicate the way of the Lord to us. It says concerning Abraham, Genesis 18, says, I know Abraham. He's not just a father and a mother. He's a parent in the Lord. He knows the way of the Lord. All the dealing in those 24 years was to call out the man in him. So at 75, there was a man in him that hadn't been called out. So being a man is not a function of your literal age in the natural. It's about your age in the spirit. And the challenge is that we, unlike our Lord Jesus was the first man who grew in a way and manner that his age in the natural rhymed with his age in the spirit. So when he was 12 in the natural, he was 12 in the spirit. When he was 20 in the natural, Christ, he was 20 in the spirit. When he was 30 in the natural, he was 30 in the spirit. Some of us, sorry to say, we are maybe 30, 31, 32, but some are still 8, 9, 10 years old in the spirit. Some maybe 15, some maybe 17. So there's a gap, there's a gulf. And the process of closing that gap is the process of calling out the man in that soul. So that's what happened in the life of Father Abraham. He was 75 years old. But in the spirit, he most likely must have still been a toddler. And that's why they now to sentence him to a season wherein they will teach him faith. And then in chapter 18 that we read, he said, "For I know him." Meaning he has something of me in him. He has my way in him, like Moses. That he will command his children and his household. Meaning he has been commanded. Faith towards all nations, which the Lord was fashioning in him, you know, had become a commandment. It says, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. So he was, you can see that he has seen Isaac because of the dealing that Abraham had come into. He has seen Isaac going to pass righteousness to another generation. So a time came, Abraham was able to close that gap, and that's why he had this testimony. He said that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. And the process of doing so starts like it has many sides. One thing I tell about our relationship with the Holy Ghost, it can be deeper. Catherine Kuhlman had a 24-minute message. It's called How to Be a True Friend of the Holy Ghost. When you finish watching the message, even when you're a minister of the word of righteousness, you will know that Kai, there's something of the Holy Ghost I still need. Not even in terms of spectacular, without maybe ministry, gift, personal relationship. I believe that's what our Father Higgin was able to key into when he says, the Lord is more real to me than my wife. Of course, that was a build up. That was the Lord. But even the person of the Holy Ghost ought to be that real. And the reason why he has not been that real or tangible, for example, Benihil will walk into his room and, you know, he will kneel down. He will talk to the Holy Ghost like a husband talks with his wife. You see all that thing? It was an allocation of their generation and they maximized it. We are meant to take that and add to it. I can tell you, you will give less work if you have it. Many counsels you still ask for can be traced to the fact that we have not taken something from the fathers, which is one of their secrets. So he said, how to be a true friend of the Holy Ghost. She said something about how she knew where Catherine Kuhlman died. I knew the day, the hour, where Catherine Kuhlman died. She was talking about how she surrendered her will to the Holy Ghost, how she committed not to grieve the Holy Ghost. Because that's the first person that will begin the process of calling out the man in us. And how one of the ways he does that is what we see, we have heard, but some of us still need to pray and commit to it. That's his own commitment, his own demand. We see that in the book of Acts, Acts 4:32. There is a wisdom here. The wisdom here is to begin the process of breaking the outward man so that the inner life, the inner man, and the outward man can find expression in the outward life. So this is where they started from. You see that thing between Ruth and Naomi? You see that relationship? You must have it with somebody at some seasons. The same way my son believes everything I say. You see that thing? We help you to take something from the Holy Ghost. And the commandment that brings that to life is what we're about to read here. This is how they begin the process of breaking the outward man. or of detaching the outward man from things. These are what limits the soul from being buoyant in the spirit. What limits the soul from being able to pick things easily. Like, for example, he says, if any man sees his brother in need, we learned that from Holy Ghost. We learned that during those days of milk faith days. You see a need. If you can't minister to it, you begin to pray for the person who minister to it. That was a response to the spirit portion of that milk expression of faith. Faith and love in the Lord Jesus. It's when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love towards all the saints. Those dollar and pound of the milk was what enabled us to now be able to relate with faith of the Son when it came our way. And that was the process of detaching us and preparing us for doctrine. He said, neither said any one of them that the things which he had, which he possessed, was his own. You see, this thing is a secret. It must be your secret. Can I tell you one of these this thing does? It helps you to be numb to works of the flesh. This detachment, because that's where they begin to deal with works of the flesh. That's where you begin to experience sanctification. The response to this commandment here helps you to be receptive to the Spirit. If this Holy Ghost cannot lead you around things present, goods, he will struggle to lead you in a season when they now want to detach you from sin. And it's in that season they will actually call out the first man in you. Because Jesus said there, for this cause shall a man. So a man there, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. And as soon as he's tired, he said, when I became a man. So meaning even after milk, after we have gotten it right with the Holy Ghost, they now want to give us what will now help us be a man that can leave his father and his mother. So you can look at, there are many people who are married. They were not that definition of man. And God is still waiting for them to address that carryover. Why do I say so? Marriage was ordained in Eden. And to approach Eden, you have to be a man that can live on words. And that while doing so, for many of us, by God's grace, in different measures, who have done so, we have seen how, by God's grace, the words of Christ dwell richly in such a person. That's how a soul approaches Eden, the place of trees, realm everlasting. So when Jesus was saying, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. There are many things to us that makes us feel we are men or we are women. Until the Lord can call out the man in us or the woman in us, he knows that we can't really, really leave even our father and mother. We may leave their houses, but we still take things from them. We have not experienced what is called the remission of sins. Firstly, Acts chapter 4, definition of remission of sins. Some of us, if you have this understanding and you agree with it, you will not be anxious about marriage. Because in humility and sincerity, you will say, I still need to be a man. I still need to be a woman in the sight of the Lord. It's the Lord that said it. It's the Lord that set standards. We just refer to it. We just consult with what the scriptures are of truth are said concerning matter. The pillar said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So when somebody has experienced what I call courtship with the Holy Ghost, it's not everybody that has courted with the Holy Ghost. How do I know? Sometimes when some brothers at home or abroad tell me, it seems the Lord is leading me towards his sister, I check his courtship with the Holy Ghost. I remember in those days when the Lord helped us to court with the Holy Ghost. You know, those years from 1995 when I got born again, 97, February 14, when I really, really rededicated my life to Christ. I saw what characterized my life from then, those years. I can't see it in them. So I know they have not courted with the Holy Ghost. We're privileged to have fellowship with what many servants of God had said, and we believed it hook, line, and sinker. You see, that thing that makes you negotiate what this minister of God is saying, you are shortchanging yourself. It will help you to be childlike enough to receive what the Father gives. I check how whole the person's emotions is. One of the things that the Lord will heal from your past exposure is your your emotions. The world scattered our emotions in different ways and measures. So, brethren, now, what they are looking for in marriage is what the Holy Ghost wants to first address before they get to marriage. When the Holy Ghost cannot address it, that hangover, that vacuum will cause confusion. You know why? Because he can't really be satisfied. The Holy Ghost is meant to satisfy that thing first. You are now meant to take what Holy Ghost has ministered to you and now bring it into marriage. That's why when you find couples, they get married, and after some 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, some excitement wanes. It's because they have a carryover. They didn't bring something. If they had brought something in their courtship with the Holy Ghost, they would have been whole enough not to have false expectations. So there are some expectations we have in our humanity, in our biology, in our chemistry, that Holy Ghost wants to satisfy. So I tell those who want to step into a relationship, I said, the same way one thing that is motivating you and maybe why you want to get married, you think of a particular brother or sister who is right now in courtship and about to get married, and you look at how they went on a date. I said that the same excitement, fulfillment that brother, hopefully who has come to marriageable age, you know, and has gone to, you know, sweet sensation on a date, has gone to the beach. You see, that same fulfillment, that same frenzy, that same thing that he's experiencing with a spouse, the first person you should experience it with is the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is a person. He's a person that wants to help you to be whole enough so that when a brother begins to trafficate, he's giving signs. After maybe he has spoken to the pastor and his pastor has given him his blessing, he now intensifies communication and what have you. And then the sister will now know that, this brother is close. What's happening? And then the sister, if she's sound enough and has the right sense, will go and talk to a pastor. Pastor, this brother is getting close to me. The pastor will now say, what do you have to say about it? Are you okay? Go and pray about it. Like a sister who had courted with the Holy Ghost. How do you know a sister or a brother has courted with the Holy Ghost? The person will be single and satisfied. Then he will be carried away seeking the Lord. Carried away seeking first the kingdom. There are some brothers or sisters like that. They are just carried away. Will not be the one telling him, okay, pray about this issue. So Holy Ghost wants you to take something from him that will make you emotionally whole. You see that picture you have about you dating a brother or a sister? You see yourself going on a date with the Holy Ghost. Is that real? Is that tangible? It will address a lack you don't know you have. As you do so, you now become findable. And then you won't be looking for what you're not meant to be looking for in a brother. You won't be misinterpreting his actions. Sometimes we're quick to suspect that a brother means something. Sometimes a brother does not mean anything. He is just also single and satisfied somewhere. He's just relating with a particular sister as a friend, as a brethren. But as the sister is already misinterpreting his action, a lot of times she's not emotionally whole. Amen. And let me also say this about the brothers. There are some brothers also who have courted with the Holy Ghost, who are doing well submission-wise, and who are also manageable. But sometimes, especially for some, maybe at home and abroad, they still want some things in their natural range first before they step into a relationship, not knowing that the Lord wants to use their lowly estate to instruct others. It's the word that has defined how our natural has to be arranged first before we get married. There are basic things a husband and wife needs. Many of our fathers in the faith, their marriages are strong because they started small. Many fathers of the faith, when they got married, they just could afford basic things. But you see them starting that small, help them. Help them start with faith. Help them clave one flesh. Help them be of one heart, one spirit. It helped them. So sometimes some of what our brothers who are of marriageable age or who are marriageable, you know, one reason why they are not necessarily got to a place where they can talk to the Lord, like I tell brothers, I said, a time should come. I said, you don't have the right to settle my marriage at your own time. Yeah, you don't have that right. No, you don't have that right. You should talk to the Lord. Lord, what do you have in mind? And if you have caught up with the Holy Ghost will tell you. Holy Ghost can tell you, prepare. Next year you'll be getting married.
And Holy Ghost sometimes can be mute about it. Sometimes you need to now seek counsel. Because what you can't pick by the Holy Ghost being mute, your pastor or your senior pastor can pick it. But you owe the Lord that honor of asking the Lord, Lord, what will you, especially at some season. There's some season the Lord does not even expect you to ask that question. Because you have not even gotten some things. You are still struggling with giving, for example. And you want to marry. You are definitely not marriageable. But some seasons, you know, you have that liberty. And that the Lord will always speak. And one of the ways the Lord speaks is not a rocket science. When you have a lot of scriptures in your pouch, when word has dwelt, Holy Ghost likes to speak with two or three scriptures. Because witnesses are established in the mouth of what? Why? Because no scripture is of any what? So you need one scripture to interpret another, to witness to another. The same Holy Ghost that spoke through Paul is the same Holy Ghost that spoke through Jeremiah. So a lot of the Holy Ghost will speak through two or three scriptures. They now expect you to compare scriptures with scriptures. Then you now have an understanding. So what you lack sometimes to be able to even discern and deduce what would the Lord have me do is what they call understanding. And the reason why you don't have understanding is because a lot of times Holy Ghost can't use scriptures to speak to you. There are no scriptures in your pouch. Your thoughts are not thoughts from scriptures. Your thoughts are your natural thoughts. You see, scriptures are thoughts. Precepts. It's only that they are revealed. If Holy Ghost will speak to you, you must be able to find it in scriptures. If you're able to find the scripture, it must be revealed. And what makes it revealed is that there are two or three scriptures that bears witness to it. When you have those witness from scriptures, somewhere, those scriptures on your heart will give you a peace. Now you say, concerning this thing I'm thinking about, I have peace. Why? You'll be able to pile thoughts of Holy Ghost on your heart. It's those thoughts that give you peace concerning that decision. Even though you still need to submit it. Because sometimes you can have peace and the timing you think you want to act on that peace may be wrong. So after a believer, for example, like some, we are on their neck now because we know we have weakness. It's part of shepherding grace. You just have weakness that this brother just says that in the next 1-2 years, this brother should settle down marriageally. And the brother is not thinking about it. He's still in the world somewhere. Why? He has not yet settled down. He doesn't yet have 2-bedroom apartment. If you are living abroad, for example, it's a lot to settle down. And that now defines. Because there, the outward life is so arranged, you'll be thinking of when you start working first to be able to earn salary, to be able to pay $1,000 plus. What do we pay for a whole year? Here is what they pay for a month. So, but as a Christ community, we're not saying that it's wisdom to break that order by starting small. And that's why you hear the word, live within the grace you have. So some of us, the Lord will have us using our starting small, especially because we will so prosper in our marriages that, like our fathers in faith, people will now look back and say, this brother started small now and see how God has prospered him. So there's a beauty in us starting small and allowing the Lord to use that lowly estate to minister to others. It's part of our obedience. We should not despise it. And so after a brother's courted with the Holy Ghost, what the Lord is saying that brother that has courted with the Holy Ghost is not a brother that can be a prototype of the man who has been fathered by a father and a mother in the Lord. So it's possible for your biological parents to be your parents in the Lord. They can have that stature. But many of us, our parents in the flesh, do not have that stature. That's why Paul used that reference there. Obey. He knew that your parents in the flesh may not have light of doctrine, light from the word. So he says, honor them. Honor them includes sometimes when they are putting some pressure, coming down to their level, honoring the fact that God used them to bring you forth. So he says, honor them. But there are cases where you can't obey them because they are not your parents in the Lord. They are not in the Lord. They don't know the way of the Lord. They didn't even raise you in the way of the Lord. And to bridge that gap that you have, what makes your natural age not align with your spiritual age is a gap, is a gulf, is a deficiency, is a lack. What you lack is what they call way. That's why it says, he shall lead his children in the way. He will put way in them. That's why it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Put way in him. When he goes, he will depart from it. So meaning, when you put way in him, you can now give him to a man. You are now a true father and mother in the Lord who can give such a child to a man. So the Lord knows that our father, mother in the flesh lived in a day and generation where they had limited light. He went ahead of us to make sure we have parents in the Lord who can interpret the times and seasons over us. So when you go and stay with a pastor, one reason why we advise for is so that way they didn't fetch. Why they were staying from their parents. They were 30 years old, but in their soul, they were still 10 years old. They may have a space of 3, 4, 5 years to get married. It's the Holy Ghost that ordered the steps of to the house of pastors, especially sometimes some particular pastors. God, the Spirit of God knows how this pastor's house can recondition, can deconstruct and reconstruct this person. He knows the dealing upon that pastor and his wife, and how if that person can come under, such a person can be raised. So I tell folks, when you are staying with a minister, you are not there because of accommodation, because of roof over your head, or because of food. I say you are there because, firstly, you need a level of spiritual covering, but primarily because the Lord wants to address a lack, a deficiency, a carryover you had when you were raised in your parents' home. Acts chapter 3. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. These sins are what makes you think like a child, speak like a child, understand like a child. When it has been deleted or remitted, you now become a man that has put childish things away. They have not called out the man in you. That's the man that can approach Eden. That's the man you can give the thoughts and way everlasting to. So I want us to just agree with humility. We may not ultimately be able to close that gulf, address all that lack that will make us a man, but God expects us to agree with this. Sometimes it can be 5 years after you get married that you become a man. I wasn't that man when I got married. I was lacking in what will make my soul a man that has put childish things away. Yes. Charity was not a new norm. What makes you that man is charity. How natural is charity to you? How natural is hospitality to you? So times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord will deal with what makes you a child. What makes you not marriageable? What makes you not a man or a woman? And then when times of refreshing has blotted out, you know, those sins, you know, you are a man that now want to use marriage to fulfill this. And he shall send Jesus, whom before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the restitution of all things. So I believe you all know that receiving Jesus is receiving what? Salvation. Meaning they want to perfect the work that they have begun in that man. Why? Philippians chapter 2. He that began a good work is able to complete or perfect it. Chapter 2 talks about how that work will be perfected. Chapter 2, chapter 3. So we are praying some prayer. Lord, give me a spouse. God said, no, I'm not hearing the right prayer from you. The prayer I should hear, if you have gathered precept concerning your need, is, Lord, make me a man. Lord, make me a woman who can leave his father and his mother. Because you remember in Galatians chapter 1, he said, when it pleased God, who separated me from what? You can leave your father's and mother's house and not yet be separated from your mother's womb. They are brothers, sisters. What is still troubling them? They are still receiving counsel. Can be traced to some things from their mother's womb that they brought into their houses. And that's why their house is here to become a home. So actually, they were not marriageable. Even though there's now a commandment governing that commitment that says you must work at it, address what makes you still childlike or childish. Childlike meaning a child in the kingdom or a man. So that you can now begin to fulfill the actual prophecy. Because like I said, the journey to Eden is the journey of Christ. When you want to now begin to relate with Eden and the trees in Eden, Eden is a realm everlasting. And marriage is an everlasting covenant. That means by the time you're actually getting married, it should be Christ first. I have done faith, hope, and charity. Not I will do. When God sees that, there's an alarm in the spirit. This man is marriageable. So actually, a lot of times, heaven knows when we are marriageable. And heaven knows when we are not yet marriageable. They know when we have not maximized opportunities that should have seen what limits us from being marriageable, which according to Acts chapter 3 that we have read is what? Sins. So what makes us not marriageable is sins. Sins that have not been remitted. Sins that they could not remit in the house of our daddy and mommy. Sins that they now want to collect when we go to stay with our pastors. Even though they will now begin to flex muscle. I have seen believers who come to stay with pastors and who waste that season. And sometimes when they get married, man foju won gbole. Yes. Because that carryover is now more tough to deal with. God will have to use some afflictions. They are tough to collect what God wanted to collect before we got married. One thing that is already happening, I want us to appreciate what is happening. Because you can despise it or not relate it with the auto and you can lose it. Some people appreciate some things after they have lost it. Yes, there are some things right now. There's an economy of Christ at work in our lives to help us address that issue of sin. You know, there are dealings, leadings, crucibles the Lord has brought us into that we need to really appreciate that. This prayer I'm praying concerning marriage, you now look at this is God's answer to it. That's why God ordered me to the house of Pastor Abraham. That's why the Lord has brought me under this boss. Because that remission of sins, you know how it will take place? How you handle relationships. Colossians chapter 3. Talking about your relationship with your boss. Relating with them as a servant. Relationship with brethren. With pastor. It's relationships. You may not have scored 100 over 100. You may not have scored 90. Sometimes everyone just look, okay, has scored 70. The remaining 30% will allow him to learn it when he gets married. But a lot of times, when you are below average, because there's below average in the spirit, when you are below average, they know it's a threat. Instead of bringing beauty, it will bring ashes to the union. So they rather not. So I want to say, God has already answered a prayer you are praying to get married in his own way. How? He has sentenced some of us to some wilderness. You see, that thing you are not excited about is a wilderness experience. What makes you not excited about it is because you have not discerned it. And then you have not begun to learn and unlearn some things. When you begin to see that, this is my salvation. This is what will make me beautiful enough and be attractive to a brother. Because what calls brother? This is how it works in the kingdom. The Lord sees that a sister has given herself. And then simultaneously, he's working simultaneously. The Lord had known. Predestination. I want you to have a confidence you may not have previously had. From what? Knowing that before you ever thought of marriage, God has thought about it. It's not an idea that originated from your mind. So God has seen who you should marry, who best you should marry, who best can help you journey with what was being defined as purpose, which has to do with salvation. And so God is working from the end backwards. You are here looking at marriage. Lord, is it next year? Is it 2 years time from now? God can see the hour, the day when you would have used a particular marriage to win an incorruptible crown, the crown of righteousness. He can see it. He now put an if. If this sister will, it's like a code. It's got some codes in that app. All the codes that will help you come to the end has been written. Platforms like this are just revealing it. In many codes, you see the word if this, a command. I mean, if this is then. So you see all those ifs, they are what is hanging over us. So a lot of them say, I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. God say, I'm waiting for her. I'm waiting for him. Remember in Deuteronomy, there are many, many ifs. If you fulfill it, it's automatic. There are some things God does not do anything new about. Your response to an if is what triggers a feedback from the earth. Sometimes a response to an if will trigger a chain reaction. Is that chain reaction that is at work that has seen some of us go and stay with the pastor? Is that chain reaction that is at work that sees some of us serving or working in a particular environment where you have a very tough boss? That tough boss is to help remit some sins. If you can use commandment to relate with him, if you can pray for him, because it's despicably using you, but the Bible says what? Pray for him. That's commandment. So you see, there's nothing God is doing about your relationship with that tough boss that he has not done. He's waiting for you to fetch the revelation and act on the revelation. When you act on it, if you will not say, there's still some sins that we don't want him to take into marriage. Let's move him to another workplace. So I tell people, the reason why you should move from one workplace to another is not because of increased salary. It's because that environment, God was able to use something in that environment to deal with a nature, but there are natures that escape that environment. Just like there are natures that have escaped many of our conferences. So you move to another work environment. You now find something very unpleasant. That thing, there's an if hanging over it. If, locate what is that if. Act on it. It's a matter of time. It's just like Joseph. Pit, prison, palace, throne. It was not a script. There was nothing God did. In eternity, he had finished everything about it. That extra, for example, 11 years, they were waiting for Joseph. That 11 years could have been maybe 8 years. Like some of us, some trials we are going through right now, because we have not responded to some if. When he finally responded, it was 13 years. In fact, at 11, he told the butler, go and leave a word for me. They say, this fear. He still has strength. He can still use his mind. He can't sit on the throne. They now gave him an additional 2 years to remit that sin. If that sin was remitted, what happened? Satan created a problem and God used that problem to what? To bring him to glory. Can you see your life? I'm just explaining what's happening in our lives right now. There are some of us have no business being anxious about marriage. The predominant thought in your mind should not be who I will get married and when will I get married. The predominant thought should be how, if I have courted with the Holy Ghost, how can I court with the Lord? When God sees that heart, he will respect it. Because that's faith. And faith always attracts the Lord. Consider this person is sincere. This person is keeping the feast, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, with sincerity and truth. When you do so, there is an alarm will sound in the spirit that this man, earth, has responded. There's now earth, which is Christ. Earth has been formed. They will send rain. He said, purge out. Look at that. That's a commandment to some of us. When you do this, I can tell you, you will be findable in the spirit. Because the Lord, a lot of times, that troubles a particular brother, he will just lose peace. A peace he used to have before, he will just lose the peace. He will not come to meet his pastor. Pastor, it's like the Lord is leading me to... Why? The sisters fulfill the particular obedience. So God can now come and avenge a disobedience or a delay, which looks like a seeming denial. Purge out therefore the old leaven that makes you not marriageable, that he may be a new lump. There's no way you'll be a new lump. There's no way you'll be Christ. There's no way 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4, 5, 6 will be a tangible reality and you will not be findable. That virtue will attract that brother. Look at me, something that virtue will attract three brothers. When you ooze, when you generate some virtue, it will attract some brothers that you didn't previously attract. Why? Like my wife said, you have been beautified on the inside. What is that beauty? Peace. So meaning there's no way you can be a peacemaker. Brothers are looking for sisters who are peaceful, who can make peace, who have that stature, who have that measure of growth, who wants to go into perfection. All this teaching on Christ is to do something on the inside to rearrange us. Even as Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. So what you keep will keep you. When you keep this feast, it will keep you from the world. It will take the world away from you. It will make you a new lump. Not to the old leaven, neither with living of malice and wickedness, but with the unliving bread. So a time should come when you are an unliving bread. It can see a beauty within. It can see it in what you do and also in what you don't do. It can see it in what occurs to you that don't occur to many sisters. It can see a mother at heart in you. It can see how whatever lack you had in your upbringing, your parents, has been addressed in the process of time. It can see how you are giving to service. Because that's the major crucible. Check through scriptures. Where God deals with our past and makes us a new lump. So, the question now is, how do I have that profit that will make me irresistible? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, somewhere it says, do I have the gift of prophecy? You see this? And on some mystery knowledge, have all faith, can move mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow my goods to feed the poor. So you can even do this even in the economy of the name of the Holy Ghost. But your soul has not come to a profiting or a beauty. Your soul has not been beautified with peace. He says, and though I give my body to burn and have not charity, it profits. So charity is what? Profit is profitable. He said, godliness is what? Profitable. So that means your prayer should be, Lord, I want to be more godly. Whenever you're thinking, brother, Lord, help me to be godly. Help me to be charitable. Help me to be a newborn spirit in Zion. When you pray that prayer, Holy Ghost will now have liberty to lead, direct, command, instruct you in a particular way. When you walk that way, you will gather a way. That way is what will make you beautiful and attractive. And because the hearts of kings are in the heart of the Lord, he turneth it. That brother, if it's a brother you are designed that the Lord will have you marry, the Lord knows how to turn his heart. Just respond to him by being godly. So, by having that profiting, see what is summarized as that profit. That will make you more attractive than you are. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. This is what makes a soul beautiful. This is what proves that a soul is marriageable. You know who comes to my mind here? What Paul was asking Timothy to do was what he has done. So, meaning, Timothy was already trading with a secret. Paul's secret. Like Ruth. Paul will later say somewhere in the book of Philippians. He says, what you have heard, seen, learned, received of me, do. So what am I saying? Something that, in a measure for some, is a secret, or you have not seen that as a secret, but it should be a secret, is your having a role model. One way to maximize your singlehood is to have a role model, meaning have somebody that you believe in to a fault, like Ruth did. Orpha did not believe in Naomi. That's what the Bible says. She kissed her and she went back to her people and her God. But Ruth, she found a role model. It's a secret. What has worked for some will work for you. There should be somebody you should be able to say, entreat me not to return from following after thee. When you have what you lack information, you have trapped a beauty that you presently lack. One of the ways to maximize your singlehood and before courtship and in courtship is to have a role model and relate with your role model like Ruth related with Naomi, like Timothy related with Paul. When you do so, you will also become an example. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. The way you are following me, the way you believe me with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, the way you have followed hard after me like David, is a guarantee that you also will be a role model for others. David saw in the book of Psalms, he said, my soul follows hard after thee. There should be somebody that your soul follows hard after. Yes, that spirit portion, that's how it flows from the head to the beard and to everyone that is attached to that garment. There's an oil. He said there's oil to be desired in the dwelling of what? The wise. Thank you, Jesus. If you can desire it. And one way to desire it is you follow hard. That's how you will touch their spirit. Can I say this? I know when people touch my spirit. There was someone who believed me in a way that I kept asking, what does he see in me? Why does he love me? He loves me. You must love your leader. It's a secret. It tells me something about your heart. It tells me something about what you are looking for. And the reason why some don't love their leader is because they are not looking for something. What they are looking for is not what to make you preach. It's an oil, a wisdom. It takes wisdom to keep this house. And so you should desire it. If you desire it, it will flow to you as long as you are attached to that garment. You know, you may not be in the head region where that oil is flowing, but just locate yourself somewhere. That wisdom. Let's see what you need that you have not been praying about. Wisdom had built a house. So when you are, look at me, what should make you a man is wisdom. What should make you a woman that will also leave her father and mother is wisdom. The first beast you slay is what we have been fed on over time. Eating menorah, shoe bread is to make you wise. Because Christ is the wisdom of God. Wisdom of built a house. You see the house? This is what attracts a man. When you have that building or formation. She had hewn out her seven pillars. She had killed her beasts. Firstly, we talk about the beast called sin that needs to be remitted. She had mingled her wine. She had furnished her table. She had set forth her maidens. She had cried out to her. It's wisdom. So you should be thinking wisdom more than you are thinking a brother. You should be thinking wisdom more than you are thinking a sister. When you are talking to the Lord about wisdom, Lord will know that this person is ready to be prepared for marriage. When you now pray that prayer, the Lord will now order your steps. That you are in this pastor's house. Oh. You are in this workplace. Oh. This particular relationship is so that you fetch a wisdom. He says, is there anyone that is wise? Let him first be foolish. So he's talking about how you need to be foolish in your own eyes or before your natural mind. When you have completed the psych season, like Moses in the house of Jethro, what he did then was he was being foolish before men, before the world. Because the world raised standards. When you are acting contrary to that standard, you are responding in a particular way, you know, that looks foolish. But that's how you'll be made wise. When you see a sister or a brother, especially a sister that is wise, you know. Check how discreet she is. Check how gracious her words are. When she finished the conversation with you, when you are going back home, you'll be remembering what she said because her words were gracious. See how forceful her right words. He said they are like apples of gold in settings of silver. So the tongue and the heart, they are connected. How beautiful your heart is can be shown in your words, your conversation, your speech. So when I was a man, I put away childish things, which includes how he spoke. Because understanding has come. So, have a role model. Believe him is biblical. Follow me as I follow Christ. So, Jesus expects that the way Paul followed him, some people should follow him. And those who follow Paul that way, some people follow them. Is it like a chain reaction? That's how you're going to fetch your own portion of oil. Can I say this? I have seen men fetch oil that way in measures in this company that you know of and that you don't know of. Zechariah talked about Joseph. I will give you a place to stand among these, those who have walked. So what you desire in a role model is that he has come into a profiting. There's a profit. There's a life. And that profit is actually a liberty. He has a liberty in the spirit that enables him to enjoy a grace and serve with a grace. That is what you admire. You may not know it, but I'm telling you. So when you love, believe, serve, commit to them, you will experience, a time is coming. When whatever you are doing, you will find that liberty. That spirit, that liberty, can be what you are looking for is a wisdom. When you walk with that wisdom, you will inherit a law. Some people will have a cause to look up to you. Some people will envy God's hand upon you. So when he says that thy profiting may appear to all, what is that profiting? It can be traced to doctrine. What makes Satan beautiful, full of beauty, perfect, was what? Law. So all he was doing was responding to the dictates of a writing, a law, a constitution. So what makes a brother and a sister marriageable is that God has been able to reconstitute them. They are now being driven with the law. They can now respond to righteousness spontaneously. That thing is beautiful. When a brother sees the goings of a sister, her conversations, like Paul talked about in the book of Colossians, he said, I beheld your order in the spirit. When a brother sees the goings, why? Something has happened. She has been reconstituted. She's gracious. Virtue. Brothers know when a sister has virtue. Especially when the brother is spiritual. There are some brothers that don't know whether a sister has virtue or not. When I met my wife, I was one of those who was single and satisfied. A lot of times in school, then when you're about leaving school, you want to grab a sister. A lot of people that did that, some of them ended up breaking the relationship. Some of them may realize in heaven that they actually settled for less. Yeah, because for some of them, they had not known their left from their right. That's why some of them till today have not been able to enter these waters. They had not discovered purpose for marriage. Another till today, when it's a salvation, so they see it as exoteric. So profiting. What you are looking for as profit is not profit. What most likely we are looking for as profit. Profit has to do with what will change the estate of the soul. Anything that is profitable to the soul is what the soul can take away. And look at me. That thing, when it's there, I can tell you it a lot of times. It will attract a brother. Because that person is a man or a woman. So a time comes when the man and the woman in us has been called out. We have profited with that season. They can now bring somebody who will prepare us to journey in the next season. Genesis chapter 24 from verse 18. Let's see why Rebecca was marriageable. And of course, Isaac then was 14 now at this age. He was also marriageable. The bonding of marriage, a lot of times you find a lot of sisters being anxious about it. But it ought not to be. Father Abraham, who is a type and shadow of God the Father, sent his servant Eliezer, who is a type and shadow of the Holy Ghost, to fetch a bride for his son Isaac, who is a type and shadow of what? Christ. So that tells you Isaac, it took time for him also to be of a marriageable age. You see these unions, like he told Abraham, then I know Abraham, he will lead his household. Some of the reasons for our so-called delay is so that we can put our house in order so that we can perpetuate righteousness. Like iniquity right now is being perpetuated into the third and fourth generation. Some of you guys belong to a third and fourth generation of righteousness. For righteousness to be perpetuated in you, you must take your own cup. Your cup is so that you can also perpetuate righteousness through your union. So I believe it would have taken time for that. For age 40 was because something has happened to the loins of Isaac at that age. And then also there was something about a Rebecca It's also possible that he was also marriageable before then. But there was something in the spirit that had to do with him marrying Rebecca, not anybody else. It's possible Rebecca was one of the few that had way in her. He says, and she said, drink, my Lord. And she hastened. These are the beatitudes of Christ. This is what shows that her soul has profit, has come to a profiting. And she hastened and laid down her pitcher upon the hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, look at what she said, I will draw water also for your camels. Can you see hospitality? Can you see what Paul was talking to churches like in the book of 1 Peter, who had come from faith through to charity? Can you see what Paul was talking about in Hebrews chapter 13? Those who had come to Zion, who had come through faith up to charity. He was still talking to them that they should entertain strangers, what? Unawares. So this is a feat. This is a feat in the spirit. This is what proved she was marriageable. She went the extra mile. He said, if they say go a mile, do what? She not just give him drink. She was too hastened to feed his camel. And I learned it. These camels, they drink a lot. That tells you she was what? Hardworking. And she was selfless. She didn't know that there was something in it for her. Meaning she had gained a reputation in the course of seeking the things of others. Because I've realized that everything you are doing for people, you're actually doing for yourself. Errands is to build capacity in you. Work pressure is to build capacity in you. So many things you have been doing for other people, you're actually doing for yourself. Especially when you do it in the name of the Lord. When you do it as unto the Lord. That's what happened to her. So she did that over time. She had become a virtuous woman. It's virtue that made her do something that would be an answer to the prayer of Eleazar. Because there was like a fleece that was set. And by the Spirit, because she had way in her. She's like those who have been trained in the way of the Lord. And I learned she was just about 18 to 20 years old. So she's the kind of believer whose age in the natural some way are tallied with an age in the spirit. Yeah, because that way of the Lord is actually what is firstly found in Christ. That's what makes Christ Christ. That's what makes charity, charity. She quickly laid down her jar and gave him to drink. She offered the camels, you know, and then without being asked, she said, I will draw water for your camels until they all finish drinking. Verse 25, he says, she said, moreover, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. See what she did? We not occur to many, some of our sisters, because you are not yet hospitable. And that's one thing you learn when you go and stay with the pastor. It's a spirit portion in Christ. It's what one of the things that will make Christ claim you as his. He said, if anyone have not the spirit of Christ, it's none of his. It's out of that spirit, that way, that graciousness she was responding. So this is the beauty in her that Isaac needed. Because this is what makes her a woman. And something else also make Isaac a man that can live and cleave. And the man bowed his head and worshipped and said, he says, blessed be the Lord, God of my master Abraham, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So we see what makes a woman marriageable. We see kindness. We see generosity is a spirit. These are beatitudes that prove a sister, in this case, is marriageable. Generosity, that liberal spirit, hard work, hospitality. She even invited him to her house. We see humility and obedience. She received the gifts that he came with. And then we see, of course, her in later agreeing to marriage. We see faith. She has not seen her husband before she went with Eleazar. That was faith. That was a way. That was courage. When a sister has this thing, I can tell you, Holy Ghost will begin to look. Where's the brother from whence this rib was taken? God wants to do something with our relationships, our union, that he has not been able to do with many in the body of Christ. Thank God for the feet of many of our parents in the flesh, many elders in the body. God wants to do much more because of what we are hearing about how the actual purpose God wants to use marriage to explain in a man's flesh is glory. The wisdom of God for marriage is how to use union. Because that's what Ephesians chapter 5 was talking about. After we have been washed and cleansed, after we have been sanctified and cleansed, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. So what I'm saying is that there's an understanding the Lord wants to arm you with, that you take your mind off when, who. Your mind should be in fact that, even the marriage I'll be settling for, it should be instrumental to my being brought into glory. Because what man fell short of was glory. So there was a glory Adam and Eve were meant to use marriage to do what? And I have a feeling, I don't know, I feel if truly Adam had leveraged the reason why Eve was his helpmate, I feel he would not have made the mistake. There are mistakes I have made because I did not leverage the gift of my wife as a helpmate. I should have grown beyond where I have grown. I should have attracted more grace than I should have. I'm presently attracting. I should have stood in a better place in the spirit than I have if I have leveraged why God gave her to me as a helpmate. Because of their weak frame, that is as unto weaker frames. You see, it will take a Christ to discern what makes our spouses a weaker vessel. That weak frame, a lot of my wife doesn't know how to push things. She will just say it, not knowing that it's the Holy Ghost speaking through her. There are some occasions the Holy Ghost must talk through you, even as a man. Because he knows that you need to differ to her on occasions, because you both need to journey together into this life. So the Holy Ghost will go and witness through them concerning matter. If you can't submit to what the Lord is saying through them, you know, you can't obey the Lord on that occasion. So I believe the Lord wants to raise unions that will become weapons in his hands. Yes, weapon, like God has been using unions in this midst to really, really bring down spirits. The Lord is just trying to equip us with an understanding that should help us have a different mindset. Yes, our mindset right now is still influenced by flesh, by the past, by our humanity, but our mindset has to come from the scripture, from what scripture of truth has to say. So please, the Lord expects us, when you live here, whatever anxiety, cares you had about marriage, please drop it in the trash. You know what Daddy Thompson, my wife and I said, use it to arm yourself. And you find yourself relating with that season of life, that chapter, the way the Lord expects. And ultimately, what I'm saying to you guys is that the Lord will bring you into a profiting. He will bring you to a liberty in the spirit. He will bring you to a season wherein your soul would have profited with what the Lord ordained in this season. Which should be your predominant thought. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. Can we just appreciate the Lord?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.